Hey folks, it is Monday night, February 6, 2017, and you're listening to episode 56 of the AIH Superfans podcast, brought to you by ArcticIceHockey.com, and hopefully another sponsor in the near future, Pappy. My name is Alan on Twitter. You can find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
Hey, I'm Roddy, and I'm at Big Pappy Peg City, and that sponsor is almost sewn up there, so.
Nice. It's Ryan here, RB underscore 18. What's up?
I'm Brian. You can find me on Twitter.com at Brian from AIH.
Before I forget, Brian from AIH, there is a store in Toronto called SVP. It's a sports, they kind of blow out apparel.
Oh, no.
And I've been finding tons of jerseys there for and in between $20 and $50, including a PK Subban Montreal Canadiens jersey for $20.
Really?
Last year's Avalanche jersey for $20. Ugly New York Islanders jerseys for $30. The Toronto Maple Leafs 2014 outdoor game jersey for $30. And a whole bunch of Jets jerseys.
Oh, man.
And that's like at 75% of... What's the exchange rate right now?
Yeah, it's like 75 cents to the dollar too. So
yeah,
they're super cheap.
$15.
The Jets jerseys, by the way, they do have Ladd, and they're selling that for $20. But they have Enstroms and Bufflins, like
they
all over
the
place.
Enstrom?
Yes, they do.
All right, I'll be messaging you.
All right, I will figure out the appropriate markup to charge you.
All right, that's fine.
What does that store know that we don't?
I know, right? Yeah, it's true, because it's basically they blow out old model jerseys and then jerseys of players. Like, you can get a Vancouver Canucks Kessler jersey, get a whole bunch of Leafs that aren't on the team anymore. But yeah, then Enstrom and Bufflin.
Huh.
Hmm. Very strange. Anyways, yeah, indeed. So let's talk about the week that was. Last time we recorded was Sunday, the 29th of January. So in the last week, the Jets went on a little road trip. Things started off pretty good in St. Louis. So good, in fact, that Ken Hitchcock got fired. They beat the Blues 5-3. They went into Dallas. They beat the Stars 4-3. And then they rolled into, and the 4-3 actually lifted Sackey's ban from Twitter, his self-imposed ban. The Jets, that was their third win in a row for the first time since the end of last season.
And so, crazy thing that day, I think he gained like 130 followers.
Did
that
he?
Day that lifted his Twitter ban.
He was trending. He was trending in Winnipeg.
And then we rolled into Saturday feeling pretty good, and they proceeded to play the terrible Colorado Avalanche and got thumped in many ways, including on the scoreboard, but also physically. And they lost 5-2, and it was not good. And so kind of came back down to earth after a nice little run there. And so what do y'all think of the week that was?
All I can say is the number three.
Three goals.
Whatever do
three,
you mean?
Three goals, at least.
So that's a pattern as I'm reading through this. And we go back to the games before the All-Star break as well, right? And Pavlik has played, what, six games since he's been called up?
And seven now.
Seven now? And five of them he let in three goals, one he let in four, and one he let in five, correct?
Well, four with the empty net.
Oh, yeah, okay. So three is pretty much his magic number. So what we've learned is that if the Jets can score four more goals, which they have been doing in the last little stretch for a number of games, then they give themselves a chance to win, because Pavlik is not letting in less than three.
It's because he inspires them to score more goals.
So yeah. more goals equals wins. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's shocking. Yeah, but what I'm interested in is that they play so much better behind him when he lets in the first shot. Apparently,
yes, that's a motivational tool that he's using.
Right? Like, oh, we guys, we better start scoring.
It's just a update where the Jets stand. They are 10th in the Western Conference. They have 25 wins, 26 losses, 4 ties, 54 points in 55 games. So one game under fake 500, and 5 games under real 500. They have caught up. They're keeping pace with Calgary and Edmonton in terms of games, and but they're still giving up games in hand to a lot of teams around them. So there's some ground to cover still. I mean, they're not dead yet. I think they're dead, but I guess technically they're not. But it's still a little rough looking in terms of the playoff picture right now.
In case you're wondering, the Jets are 4 games over 500 with Hellebuck in net. So just in case you're wondering.
Speaking of Hellebuck, does anyone know the last time the Winnipeg Jets allowed less than 3 goals in a game?
That would be the Chicago game.
I'm asking if you know, because I do.
Was it the Chicago game?
No.
No.
When was it?
Well, maybe. Okay, I didn't verify. Was there a Chicago game when they...
Hellebuck beat Chicago his last game.
No, they gave up 3 in that one.
Gave up 3 in that one.
So let me.
And it would have been the Calgary shutout.
The Calgary shutout, January 9th, 12 games ago, 13 games ago.
Holy shit! I'm looking at it too.
Yeah. Wow.
They've given up 3 in every single game since that, and it's. I mean, what more can you say about that? It's Pavlik is not providing better goaltending. In fact, what is he back down to? 895 now in his 7 games.
Yeah, he's gotten down to Hutchinson numbers, right?
Yeah, and I still can't figure out why the media are completely, you know, blowing his horn. Like, it's just, it's unbelievable. Like, on TSN today,
it's a different team in front of him.
Well, like, they actually went to Sheldon and Wheeler and got quotes about how much better they're playing behind them. These guys must be going in their heads, guys, can you not look at the stats? at least Shifley said something along the lines of, yeah, he's consistent. Yeah, he's consistently awful.
In terms of goals against, the Jets are number one in the league in giving up goals. Now, again, that's having played 2 more games in Dallas, 6 more games in Colorado. But I would say other than those two teams, even with giving up the games in hand, you could easily say they're the third worst in the league right now with goals against. Now, they're scoring a lot of goals. In terms of goals for, they're number 6. And again, there are teams behind them that they've given up, they have games in hand over. But they're, you know, comfortably, I think, in the top 10 for goals for. And they certainly have top-end scoring. And that top-end scoring is really delivered in the last couple of weeks. But if you can't keep the puck out of the net, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, like for the longest time, this league has turned into a game where, you know, it's a race to 3 goals. Well, now when the Jets play, it's a race to 5. Doesn't matter which team. And luckily for them, they had filled the net in St. Louis and Dallas. Carey Lehtinen and Jake Allen helped in that regard. But if you actually look at those games, I mean, the game winner in St. Louis was that Jacob Trouba dribbler off of, you know, a couple of double deflection. And then the game winner in Dallas was that awful giveaway behind the net that Laine got to Ehlers. Like, it's they're scoring goals, but there's a couple fluky ones in there. Now, I'm not taking away the rest of them. I mean, Shifley had a couple beauties. They're scoring goals, but they have to stay in games.
Yeah, the formula is not working still. And I mean, even if you get lucky and get on a run because your team is scoring, you're not going to last in the playoffs with that kind of play.
No, like in that Dallas game, Dallas had, they had twice as many shot attempts as them. Like,
playoffs?
Yeah, playoffs.
We're talking playoffs.
It's interesting too, because this Colorado game is the epitome of the Winnipeg Jets. And every year they've been back, except in their playoff season. Like, they've always played down to the competition.
They played down to the competition. And they show flashes against the better teams.
They played against the Colorado team that is, going into that game, was on pace for, like, expansion-level awfulness. And they were playing without Tyson Barrie, Semyon Varlamov and Eric Johnson, three of their six core members. Like Mark Barberio, that was his first game, and he was in their top four. He played over 20 minutes. He was great.
Zadorov single-handedly blew up the whole team.
Oh, like, Zadorov just leveled Shifley twice.
But he was like, he was noticeable from the first period on. He just laid out everybody on the team. Like, it was just crazy. But he owned Shifley. Like, he hit him three or four times. Never mind the one that he blew him up on. But he was all over the place. I noticed because I first time they called out his name, I thought they said Pia Zadora. But so anyways, he had himself a hell of a game. They totally destroyed them, and they had no answer for them physically. Like, you know, whatever.
Well, Peluso's not in the lineup. That would change things, right?
Oh, God. Who? Yeah.
Big time.
Our local media tweeting that. I mean, I guess he's not a sports personality, but...
Speaking of tweets from the local media, lots of and from national media too. What the fuck with Pavlik? Like, why is this still happening? Like, seriously, are the Pavlik supporters the Trump lovers of the NHL? Like,
yes. Yeah,
where you're looking at factual evidence, not years ago, but right before your eyes, statistically and what you can see. And yet there are still plenty of people who are like, this guy is still probably the answer. And that's amazing.
Because he's Pavlik, right? He makes the athletic save, and he looks good when he makes a save. And, you know, they won more.
But like in the Colorado game,
they were on a three game winning streak. Like the Colorado game, he looked horrible.
In the Colorado game, he made that one save that's going to be on the highlight reels for the rest of the year, and then a minute later, Colorado scores.
That's why this fan base was enamored with him the first year. Like, I mean, they get excited at that. They like the fact that he flashes the leather when he makes a glove hand save. Like, and he's been doing that even more lately. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but every time he makes a glove hand save, he's putting a little bit of mustard on it. But I don't know. You go back in PVR, like every game, he's playing it up a little bit, and our fan base loves it.
Remember that big, like, you know, his most famous save in the first season against Philadelphia. That in a game that they lost.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people don't talk about, is that was in the last minute, and then he gave up the goal, and then they lost in overtime, right?
Well, how many saves does he have? How many highlight reel saves does he have where he's out of position, and he makes up for it late and makes a desperation type of save? That's Andre Pavlik.
But the issue is that he makes that save because he's out of position, and then a minute later...
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
They score an easy one.
Yeah.
Like that game winner that Nieto tapped in... He didn't even react until Nieto had shot it off the backboards. Like, he's just sitting out in no man's land before he dives over to no avail. But if he makes that save, it's the end of the world again, right? Like, it's like, oh, Pavlik!
And then you get guys like Joe Piscucci, who's been covering sports in Winnipeg since I was a kid, since we were all kids, tweeting out that he doesn't give a shit about save percentage. He just wants the goalie to make saves.
Yeah.
No, and then the other half is I don't give a crap who's in that as long as we win.
Yeah, right? That's the other one, right? The bravado that comes out of the fan base where they're like, who gives a shit about fancy stats? Just win games. And it's like, well, you're not winning games.
Yeah, just win, baby.
You know, like, okay, so all I care about is wins. Well, then why aren't you mad? You have some of the least amount of wins in the NHL.
Why aren't you mad that Hellebuck's not in net? Because they're four games over 500 when he's in net.
Yeah.
Like, fuck me with that narrative. Like, they've won more games with Connor Hellebuck in net. They win more. Their winning percentage is greater when he's in net. But no. Like, whatever. It's a big smokescreen. It's whatever. It's deflecting attention from what's really the problem, right? Which is the
coach. I guess so. But yeah, like just talking about that Trump narrative. Like it's like the White House. It's like Sean Spicer is sending them these narrative, these talking points. But in all honesty, it's almost like Scott Brown is sending somebody memos. And it's like, you have to, we're pushing this agenda, boys. Here we go. Because there's just no way that professional sports journalists, I use that term loosely in this town, but there's just no way they can all think this. But here they are towing that line.
But everything, though. Everything that comes out of the Jets, everybody to the man agrees with. Like, when Ehlers got benched, that one game when Maurice put him on the fourth line, everybody on the radio and every newspaper personality said that it was a great move because, you know, blah, 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 blah. Hook, line, and sinker, anything that True North spews out, everybody eats it up. Like, it's whatever.
Just to put the numbers into perspective, Connor Hellebuyck, 35 games played, 17, 13, 0, and 1. And he...
So three games over real 500.
Yeah, three games. He has a .908 save percentage, a 2.82 goals against average. Now, before I read the other ones, we will all agree that those aren't ideal stats, right?
No. Right.
All right.
No.
But they're the best on our team.
But I'm just saying they're not ideal. Andrei Pavlik, 7 games, 4-3. So 4-3, 1 game over 500, real 500. And he has a save percentage of .895, 3.34 goals against average. So if this was 1984, those aren't bad.
Decent. Grant Fuhr-like numbers. Yeah.
Michael Hutchinson, 20 games played. He is 4-10 and 3, so obviously not good. .894, so .001 lower than Pavlik, and 3.23, so actually a better goals against average than Pavlik. So really, if you know, if I just threw the names out and showed you those numbers and said, how would you rank them? Pavlik's third.
Yeah. But because his team is scoring 4 or 5 goals a game, like his goal, the team's goal scoring with him in net is so far and a more, like, so much more goal support for him right now. And apparently that's why he's good. His team's scoring more. Like, thanks, Pav.
Because they believe in him, so they can score more goals.
Because the veterans are more loyal to him.
Jesus. What a fucking mess. And in the meantime, we are quickly heading towards hashtag golfing in April. So have at it. Save Jets fans more money on playoff tickets if this keeps going. Just quickly looking at the week ahead. We have tomorrow the white hot Minnesota Wild, second top team in the league and number one in the Western Conference, coming into town. Then on Friday, we've got the Blackhawks, Saturday, the Lightning, and then next Tuesday, it's Dallas. This is a 4-game homestand. And then they head out east on the road, 3 of 4 games, which I'll be at. They play in Pittsburgh, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto. So good times ahead. And then after that, they get their bye week. And then they're back playing Minnesota Wild again at the end of the month. This is going to be a rough month at this point in time. Like, none of these teams on the list are duds, right? Every team, except for Tampa Bay, who are not sitting in a playoff spot right now. And I guess Dallas. So 2 out of 8.
Right. But in any given game, either of those two teams could go off.
Yeah. So certainly not easy.
When's that last game at the end of the month?
It's right on the 28th, Tuesday.
And then the deadline's on the 1st?
The deadline is on the 1st.
So they have one game after their bye week.
Yes.
Oof, 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 oof.
Yeah,
they're going to be sitting there watching teams catch up in game. Yeah. They're going, oh boy.
Yeah, that's when reality's really going to sink in. Unless they somehow, like, again, it's 9 games that they've got to play right now. So if they go 6-3, maybe. Again, maybe they're not solidly in playoffs, but they'll be in a better position. But that's a tough order.
Yeah, St. Louis won again tonight, so they're used one of their games in hand wisely.
Lovely.
Oh boy. Yeah.
All right. Do you want to go with more midseason grades, or is there anything else you want to cover beforehand? I guess we quickly mentioned when you said trade deadline on the TSN trade deadline list, Matthew Perreault sitting at number 4 and Pavlik sitting at 9.
Yeah. Yeah,
2 in the top 10.
Perreault's been at 4 for since the beginning, but Pavlik just got up to, moved up the charts to 9.
Hey man, again, if Chevy gets anything for him, I'll put some praise out there for him. Anything.
Yeah, if he gets a 7th, I will give him some doubt.
Yeah. Perreault is interesting. I forget who mentioned it. Someone on Jets Twitter was like, they do realize that he is not a UFA, right? That he's signed for another 4 seasons at $4 million per, but for whatever reason, he's on that list.
It's the, it's a get something for him and not have to protect him theory, right? It's the whole expansion thing that's putting him on that list, right?
Well, yeah. I guess if they're going to, you know, sell him off for cheap, then yes.
Yeah, and I think his term's not that bad, right? So his dollar value for somebody with term and his age would be appealing to somebody. And, you know, the Jets have so much upfront that I guess they want to protect. And, you know, he's expensive.
Yeah, I think I heard them say somewhere that I forget who said it or if it was on the radio or on Twitter or something, but there's no room in the top 6 anymore for Perreault, which going into this current season, they didn't know what they had in line A, I guess. But now that they know, I don't know.
So they committed to him for 4 years on a contract because they weren't sure about line A. But again, we couldn't do 5 for Frolik a couple of years ago. Just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, because they actually wanted Drew Stafford.
All right. So we'll see how that unfolds. We'll probably talk a little more specifically about trade deadline in the next few weeks. And we'll see what actually happens.
Wasn't there something about a stroller and his wife, though? I don't know, whatever.
All right. So I've got the list of Jets defensemen up here. Of course, last week, you can go back and listen. We gave letter grades to the forwards on the Jets. So this week, we'll do defensemen, goalies, coaching and management. So let's start with the defensemen. I'm just going to go in order from how they are in the scoring. And we'll start with Dustin Byfuglien. Dustin Byfuglien on the first year of his 5-year, $7.6 million deal. Of course, a big raise after last season. He has 55 games played, 7 goals, 27 assists, 34 points. So 0.62 points per big game. Big penalty minutes, obviously, but the biggest minutes are his minutes per game. Still averaging over 27 minutes a game, was close to 30 a game while Trouba was holding out. I think that I'm going to give Dustin Byfuglien a B- right now. I still don't think that they're, you know, he's obviously an offensive weapon. He is taking a more of a leadership role on the team. But he's not doing the things that excite me about him like he did last year, where, you know, there's just certain games where he was physically and offensively dominant. And, we haven't really seen that many moments this year from him.
Yeah. You know what? I've got him at a B- too. He's still driving the play. He's definitely not as physical. And to me, he doesn't seem as engaged, as he was last year. So for whatever reason it is, he's getting a little monotonous too, offensively. Yeah. I don't know what it is with him, but I don't think he's just as engaged as he was last year.
That's a scary thought, because he's making 10 million Canadian after you...
the way you put that.
it's worrisome. I mean, I'll give him a B- as well. Good Buff is still amazing, but we've seen a lot of bad Buff this year. And that's concerning because, A, it's the first year of his retirement deal. B, he's getting older. And C, like, even Lawless, I think, on the radio today, I caught a little bit driving home, and they're all over him. Like, where's the leadership from this guy in that Colorado game? So they've been on Buff a lot, and whenever they have a green light to go after someone, usually means they're not happy with them. So,
but in fairness, they've always gone after Buff too, right? He's been one of the guys that always gets criticized first.
Anybody
in the core, right? Traditionally. Like, I know Westwood hammers on him almost every day, which is...
Yeah, I don't listen in the morning show. So.
Yeah, who is that guy? Who?
I have no idea.
He's the kicker that lost us the Grey Cup in 2001.
The troll? Westwood, like the troll from Twitter? That guy? He has a radio show?
Oh my God.
What about Toth? Is he a radio guy? All right. Brian?
Yeah, B minus across the board. Definitely really concerned about when he's bad, especially because first year of his new deal. But there's still flashes of what we expect from him, and that's kind of inspiring, but too much bad Buff.
And to me, you know, he was clearly the right choice to sign between him and Ladd, but I go back to the beginning of last year where I thought they should have gotten rid of both of them.
Yeah, I agree.
Gotten big return, right? And concentrate on getting that core younger, right? So, and it brings me back to that point that there's just too much of a big difference between the old core, the Atlanta core, and the upcoming emerging core. I think this team really needs to seriously look at getting younger sooner than what they've traditionally done. And the next couple of seasons are going to be very telling as to what direction they want to go.
Oh, God, more time. That's what we need, right? Ugh.
Dustin, yeah. Byfuglien, just to put things into perspective, by the way, seventh in the league in defenseman scoring. So still, in terms of putting points on the board, is elite in the NHL, which is nice.
Well, and Dustin Byfuglien is Dustin Byfuglien. There's no other Dustin Byfuglien in the whole league, right? But it's a point of where does he fit with the Jets right now and what we've got going on and what's developing, right? So signing him to a long-term deal obviously affected what happened with Jacob Trouba too, right? And we'll get to Trouba, but just what Trouba's shown this year shows that he truly is our number one defenseman, right? So
let's talk about Jacob Trouba. 40 games played, 4 goals, 17 assists, 21 points, half a point a game. So far, he is playing 24 minutes plus a game. And, of course, he held out, came back in November. 2-year deal. What was it? $3 million a season, pretty much. And they said, prove that you're a number one defenseman. This guy is going to make Chevy look like an asshole. And he is making Chevy look like an asshole. I'm sure people are going to be like, hey, great. Like, he's playing that well and he's only making $3 million a season. What a deal. He's going to fuck this team so hard at the end of next season when it comes to that contract negotiation. Yeah. A plus for all of that. That's what I give him for this year.
Yeah, absolutely. He's an A plus all the way for me too. Like, just his emergence and, you know, I'd finally not being saddled with an anchor and having a real defensive partner has really shown what he can do. And the fact that he's doing it primarily 5-on-5 is, you know, it just goes to show what kind of talent he is and what kind of talent we've always had and how he was underutilized and misused. And, you know, what he shows is how glaring our lack of foresight is in management to commit to what's really out there. Like, he is the best defenseman that we have, period. Sorry. You guys can hate him all you want.
No, well, we should let him rot, right? That's...
Yeah.
Hashtag, right? I'll give him an A. He's been unbelievable. The only reason I don't give him the plus is because it took him a little while to get the offense rolling. But no, he's easily our best defenseman. The right hand shot. Like, do you remember the summer when this team had Byfuglien and Myers ahead of him? Like, this team's NHL evaluation is just horrible. Like, their amateur evaluation, okay, it's pretty good, but professionally, it's an embarrassment.
It's their defensive evaluation that they're really.
Oh, and goaltending.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But no, I mean, Trouba is. He's going to break the bank when he's up for his next deal here. Like, this bridge deal is going to cost the Jets so much money. Because how is he going to ask for less than Buff, what he's making right now, especially now that he's playing as much as Buff and producing as much, if not more?
Well, producing more
with the snarl that Bufflin doesn't bring, even though he should be, right? Like, this is like the PK Subban bridge deal, and then he goes and wins the Norris. Will Trouba win the Norris? I don't know, but when he's quickly become the best defenseman on the team, and he's going to be looking for Bufflin money, if not more.
Like, if Chevy could have gotten this guy for $6.5 million for like 6 to 8 years, he's going to be weeping when it comes to what deal this guy gets.
Even at the reported $8 million a year that he wanted, like, how cheap is that going to look after next season?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Brian?
It's time to back up the Brinks truck. A+, pay him right now.
Right now. Just give him money now. Be like, you know
right
what?
Right now.
You know what, Jacob? We fucked up. Let's just renegotiate now.
I'm starting a GoFundMe to fund Trouba's next contract to make sure he stays.
Well, Valentine's Day is coming up, so something. Thing with a heart and lots of dollar bills might help.
Josh Morrissey, 55 games played, 2 goals, 11 assists, 13 points. Of course, this is his first full rookie season with the team, playing just under 19 minutes a game. And I think that number is increasing over time, playing 24 shifts a game. Still not getting any power play time. I think for a rookie, he's playing well. Of course, he's making rookie salary, so it's not peanuts, but it is. Where is he here? $863,000 a year with potential for $500,000 in bonuses. I like Morrissey. I think that he, you know, it's so hard for rookies. And of course, he's played a couple of seasons. He played a season in the AA, and I think this is, what, 3 years removed from his draft year, so he's not a kid. But he's still a rookie. I'm going to give him an A.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a solid B+. He's done well. He hasn't had that opportunity on the power play, but I'm really impressed with how cool he is, how poised he is for being a raw rookie this year, right? So, yeah, he's the future. I'm excited to see a Trouba Morrissey pairing. In the years to come, right? Yeah, solid B+ for me.
Yeah, I think a B+ is a good way to go. I was starting to become concerned about him entering Bustville category with his play with the Moose last year. So he's definitely calmed that feeling down. Having said that, I mean, he's playing a lot of minutes at 5-on-5 with Bufflin, so his offense isn't there. I mean, you should be. If he's out there with Bufflin, it means he's out there with other good skaters too. So he should be second assisting a couple more than he is, at the very least. 13 points is no screaming hell. But no, he looks poised for a young kid, and he has settled my bust notion quite well. So B+.
B+, A-. He, for the first month and a half, he was probably the best defenseman on the team. Offense, yeah, a bit lacking, but that'll come. We were saying the same thing about Trouba too. So just give him a little more time and he'll be good.
Toby Enstrom, 52 games played, 1 goal, 12 assists, 13 points. Does play on the power play. He's got 6 points on the power play so far. 22 minutes, just under 23 minutes a game, playing 28 shifts, as usual. I think that, Toby Enstrom is pretty much what he is. And as long as he's not hurt, I think he's reliable. Of course, people don't notice the good things that he does. I know I noted a couple of games ago, there was a stretch pass. I think it was to Ehlers, someone on a breakaway, And that was Toby feeding the puck up to his forwards, which is something that this team doesn't get from everybody in the back end. I don't think his offensive numbers are spectacular, but they haven't been for a few years. I give him a B. He's making a lot of money, I'll say that. He's making almost $6 million a year, and he's signed for another season.
Yeah, I'm good with a B, too. He's just consistent. He's just consistently solid, and he does all the little things right, and he quietly goes about his business, and unfortunately, you know what, his stick infractions and taking penalties, and that's what people are exposed to more, and they gripe about him about, but imagine if we didn't have a Toby Enstrom on this team, where we'd be at. He's just he's taken for granted too much. He's very solid. He's very consistent. You know what? If he produced more offensively, he'd definitely be an A every year, but he doesn't. He doesn't have those offensive numbers, and I think that's what holds him back as far as grading him. But he's a solid B every time, which is consistent. It's what you want.
Yeah, I'll give him a B. He does the little things so well, like you said. You don't see the little things that he does. Unfortunately, he looks like he might be losing a step. That's why the penalty minutes are up, which is concerning because he's one of those 30 plus guys that is slowing down. And his offense, like in his Atlanta years, like he was ripping it up on the power play, and now he's just he's not producing offense. So yeah, he gets paid a lot of money, but in transition, like he's one of the few guys that can actually move the puck up ice, make an outlet pass.
Well, that being said, I'd like to see him on the power play more with Line A, for sure. Like I think it's a better fit for Line A on the power play with Enstrom on the point, Patan and Ehlers is what I'd like to see, but whatever, that's just me.
I got to give Enstrom a B too. They say the best defensemen are the ones you don't hear about often. And if you hear about them, defensemen, it's because they're messing up. And that's pretty much Enstrom to a T. Everything that you guys said. One of the best shutdown defensemen on this team consistently. And his offense is starting to go. But he's so good at defense that it kind of evens out. And probably the most underappreciated player on this team.
Now we go into the next part of the Jets' defensive core.
A lot of air and the rest of the staff.
Paul Postma, 49 games played. He's got 10 assists, no goals. Gets 11 minutes a game, about 15 shifts per game. Paul Postma, to me, is this cookie cutter, plug and play as you can get. And when I say plug and play, there's nothing. I'm not enamored with him at all. I don't really notice anything that he does, and he doesn't play enough time. He's, I know he's, he gets a little bit of a bump in people's eyes because, Mark Stewart's on this team. We'll get to him. But, Postma to me, I'm just, he's making, I think close to league minimum, $887,000. I don't know. C?
Yeah, I'll give him a C-. I think for what he is, he's a depth defenseman for everything, and he should have a little bit more offensive upside, and that's what he's supposed to bring to the table. He doesn't show enough of it. Mind you, he's been playing with Ben Sherratt for a majority of the year, and that's no great shakes either, but he could be better. C-, D. C-, D level, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I'd give him a B-. I mean, he has 10 assists. That's, 2 points less than Morrissey? why are we giving... I mean, and Morrissey plays with Bufflin. Like, look at who Postma plays with. He barely gets in. When he does, he plays with horrible players. I think he's doing just fine. Just once, I would like to see him play with a capable partner. Like, I think he's doing just fine. He's just not good enough to... He's no Trouba. I mean, he can't carry Mark Stewart. Who can, other than Trouba?
Wow.
Right?
You're right.
So we'll get to Stewart in a bit, but I think Postma, I think he is, yeah, he's a cookie cutter bottom pairing defenseman, but I think he's an NHLer. I just don't think he's good enough to carry a bad partner. And most bottom pairing guys aren't. But I think that he's been okay, all things considered. And the fact that he's chipped in as much offense as Morrissey and Toby, who both play twice as much and see special teams, I don't think we can ask a whole lot more out of Postma in 11 minutes.
Yeah, I got to say C for Postma. When he hasn't been as good as we've seen before, but he's carried around three of the worst defensemen in Melchiori, Chiarot, and Stewart, all of which are, we'll get to it, are horrible.
spoiler alert, everyone.
Yeah, sorry to spoil that, but they're all bad. But as Arby said, he's not Trouba. He can't carry a pairing like that. He can't carry any of those defensemen, and that's kind of what's holding him back. If he had a capable partner who wasn't a glorified AHLer, he would look a lot better.
Ben Chiarot, basically same salary as Postma, plays four more minutes a game. All of his stats are worse. I give him a D.
I don't think I could give him that high a grade. He's been shit. He's a D minus, borderline F. Like, you know, when he, what does he average a night? 6.5 minutes?
A game?
No, he plays
14, 14 minutes a game.
Is it? They love him. 14 minutes a game?
They love him.
Motherfuck.
How many points does he have?
He has six.
Eight, I think.
He has six assists.
Like, I'm giving him too much credit. Yeah, I'm going to give him an F.
All right.
Yeah, it's the same here. It's D minus F plus. I don't know. I mean,
you're full on F. From the teacher in this group.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Like, I mean, he's really bad, but why is he playing? Like, he shouldn't even be in the lineup. Half of these guys shouldn't be in the lineup. He is who he is. He's an AHLer. And that's what concerns me, is that this organization really admires what he brings to the table. And that's terrifying, because he's really not very good. And, he needs somebody better than Postma to carry him. And, like I said, I think Postma has done as good of a job as he can. He's got more points and better underlying numbers in less minutes. And, Chiarot sucks.
He's brutal.
All right, Brian.
Chiarot's shit. He played and simple. There's no better way to put it than just shit. F. Out of the six regulars in the lineup, he's without a doubt the worst. And the organization puts way, way too much faith in him. And honestly, I think it's all because of when he was with Buff. He was carried by Buff, made him look sort of decent, and then they thought, oh, he can do this by himself, and that's obviously been proven wrong time and time again. And it just goes to show what happens when you have no good left-handed defenseman in the pipeline.
Remember at the beginning of last season where Paul Maurice wanted him to get more involved offensively, and he wanted him to activate more?
Jesus.
But that's also the same coach that wanted Adam Lowry to be the top line center.
Fucking Chiarot can activate himself across the hallway to the Moose locker room.
Yeah.
Two players who we won't grade, but I'll mention. Tyler Myers has played 11 games this year. Still nothing on this guy. This is serious shit, right? You've missed half a season of hockey. That's very serious injuries when you're talking about that length of time.
What do they classify it as?
Well, but not only that, I don't know if they've classified it yet, but what did Maurice say the other day, that he's not getting stronger? Like, that's bad.
Well, yeah. That's right after hip and knee surgery, right?
Yeah, like, not good at all. And then Julian Melchiori's played four games. When people get hurt, he gets called up and fills in a slot. And unfortunately, Strait hasn't played any games yet, so he's not on this list.
Darn it. I was so excited when he got called up there briefly.
So is that it for defensemen, or is there one more?
We forgot one.
Oh, did we? Mark Stewart, 21 games played, one goal, 1 point. He has 11, 12 minutes a game, and there's not much else to say on here. His shooting percentage is 9%. He's taken 11 shots and has a goal. So there you go. Makes those big, spectacular hits, everybody. You know, intangibles and leadership and grit. F.
I give him an A because he's everything that the Jets are all about.
Oh.
Being shit.
Losing.
He's an F. He's an F. What else can you say? Like,
how many more years? Does he still have 2 years left?
I should mention $2.625 million for this season and next, along with a modified no-trade clause. Player submits a 14-team no-trade list if they want to trade him.
He sucks so bad, I want to give him a D.
Can you fucking imagine? Like, you know, oh my God. I can't believe it.
That's almost $4 million between Stewart and Thorbert.
Yeah, it is. And add $4 million for Pavlik, and they're all still in the lineup.
Yeah. All right.
No, Stewart is the lowest F possible, F minus. Like, Stewart. And it's so frustrating because...
Tell me how you really feel, Arby.
Well, no. I mean, I can't, in case any kids are listening. But it's Stu North. Like, he's everything that represents the Jets. And they're right. They're a bad franchise. And so is Stu. He's a bad defenseman. He's the epitome of the Jets' defensive zone coverage and the Jets' penalty kill. Why are they still putting him out there? How many times?
That's totally perplexing. That is totally. He's been benched the whole year, and they're putting him on the first unit penalty kill. Like, how does that happen?
But like, what said more about the Jets 6 years since the return than Stewart making that hit in San Jose, sending the other guy on the breakaway on the goal? Like, that's
Did you see the hit in St. Louis?
Yeah, another breakaway, that's right.
I freeze-framed the screen that they put with the overhead shot where he's all the way across the ice making a hit. There's the puck kind of floating into the zone and a straight line for a St. Louis player on the breakaway.
Yeah.
But you know what the Jets' Twitter account does is it tweets out the video of the hit, right? Every time. And then it's always part of the highlight package. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand why he doesn't stop. I don't understand. Are you not being coached? Like
what they want him to do.
Like, it's clear that it's fucking stupid to do it, and yet it never stops. And it's like, is he like a dog around a steak? Like, he just can't help himself. I don't get it. Stop fucking doing it.
But he's true north through and through. I mean,
what this organization's about.
He either gets a contract extension or he's going straight into coaching. Like, he'll be here forever.
Oh, God. He'll be the one that replaces Huddy.
Oh, could you imagine?
Oh, God.
You know what? I could imagine. That's the worst part.
Could I?
Brian?
I'm going to get... You guys are some haters. I'm going to give him a D for dog shit. once again, just a testament to how bad the defensive pipeline is, and he epitomizes everything that's wrong with the Jets' defensive play. They focus too much on the big hits, and they set up the easy goal. Nothing else you can say.
There you go. Goaltenders.
Oh.
let's start with Connor Hellebuyck. So we talked about their stats a little earlier, but again, 17 wins, 13 losses, one overtime loss, 0.908 save percentage, 2.82 goals against average, earning $667,000 this year. He could earn another $230,000 with performance bonuses. I'm assuming that he won't get those. He is in his second year, though the first kind of playing on a regular basis and was anointed the starter at the beginning of the season. In terms of the long term, still too soon to tell. As good or a little better than what Pavlik's been providing for the last 6 years, but not good enough to help your team be a playoff team. C minus.
Yeah, I'll give him a C minus. C minus. He's over 500. He's four games over 500, and you know his numbers aren't great, but they're exactly what this team has had for the last five seasons. A 908 now?
Yeah.
It's 0.01 better than what our previous goalie's career average is. So, yeah, C minus is, you know, the thing is he's got youth and he hasn't had the chance yet. So, I don't know. I'll have to give him a C. Yeah.
I'll give him a C or a C plus. I mean, he's won games. He's shut out some good teams. He his numbers are below league average, but they're above Jets average. My concern with him is that he's no longer as big and boring as he used to be. So I'm very concerned that Wade Flaherty sunk his talons in and ruined him.
Well, that's the thing. He's coaching him down, right?
Well, I can't fathom how has he played since the All-Star break? Yeah,
one game.
No,
one game hasn't he?
No,
he played right before. That's right.
So what are you telling your young goalie? He's played once in, what, the past eight games?
Well, they've got him trying to implement.
And he won that game.
All right.
Like, where's the draft and develop model of parking your goalie on the bench? Like, I don't know. I think Hellebuck's been fine. He's been okay. But I'm very concerned about what they're doing to him, like not only coaching wise and like form in net, but mentally. What are they telling this kid right now?
Now, but could it be that Jets management has something on us, and they're really putting Pavlik out there to create a market for him on the trade market? Could they be that smart?
Or do they realize that a horrible team that they don't want to subject the young goalie to it?
One of the two. Like, those are the only two justifications, right? Is to protect Hellebuck, and I'd rather throw Pavlik in there because we know he's used to this shit. And if he fucking excels, then maybe somebody will want to pick him up as a backup, right? Because there's quite a few teams that are looking for a quality backup, right? Going into the playoff push, so...
Brian?
Yeah, all things considered, a C. He's been better than Pavlik was the last 5 years, so there's an improvement. It's pretty obvious that Flaherty's ruining him, and the longer he's with the Jets, with Flaherty, the worse he'll probably get, and that's really not encouraging.
I love how the standard that's set is he's better than Pavlik.
That's really all you had to be is better than Pavlik to get praise anymore.
It's like, I cooked pasta for dinner tonight. How was it? Well, it's better than shit.
That worst part is that's what it is. And he's played better than Pavlik. That's good enough, I guess. Not really, but it is.
Well, it should be good enough. It should be better for this fucking organization.
But,
right?
You know, TSN and everybody else is all on Pavlik's knob for, was it 890 something?
895.
For 895.
What I don't appreciate getting force fed down my throat is the fact that we're supposed to blame all of the Jets' woes on the goaltending. Like that's what I don't appreciate getting like and rammed down my throat.
Well, at the same time though, and I mean we can talk about this, well, we'll talk about it now, I guess, but if they had better goaltending, they'd probably be in a better, like, they probably would have a couple of more games that they've won if they did have better goaltending. It hasn't been good across the board this year.
And is that good enough, though? So how many games are you going to attribute solely to goaltending? Half a dozen? Five games?
Okay, I'll say five games. Five games is enough. That's 10 points. That puts you right in playoffs. It's a big difference. It's a really big difference.
Yeah, well,
There's way too much that this team lacks to solely blame the goaltender.
I mean,
St. Louis has worse goaltending, and they're ahead of us. They're in the playoffs.
Like Andre Pavlik, I think the other thing that he warps in terms of our perspective is that we know that he's been bad for so long, and we have to hype that narrative up, but he makes Hellebuck look so much better in comparison, but Hellebuck compared to the average NHL goaltender is just below, I guess. And compared to good NHL goaltenders that are going to really get you in the playoffs and make a run, he's not even close yet.
Yeah, well, he's just below. What's the league running at right now? League average 9.12.
I would have to find that, and I don't know where I would find that on fucking NHL.com.
Probably closer.
Pardon me?
Well, a couple weeks ago it was 9.12, 9.13, right? Somewhere around there.
Sure. I'm just trying to see.
I'm checking right now.
Does it run me an average? No, it doesn't run me an average.
Which is right around where he was at before he had those two horrendous games, right? He was around a 9.13, 9.12.
Yeah, I mean, just to, you know, where is he? His 9.08 right now, just in terms of pure ranking, is 45th, and I would say above him there are probably 10 goaltenders that haven't played enough games to really count, maybe 15. So that still puts him in the bottom third of the league.
Sure. Oh yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Right. Like it's not good enough. I'm not done. I'm not giving up on him. I still think that they need to run with him for now. I mean, we fucking didn't give up on Pavlik for now. It's 6 years. You got to give Hellebuck at least two, maybe, three, really. Pavlik, he is what he is. He's not the worst goaltender in the league, but he's bad. I'm going to give him a D.
Wow.
I give him a C minus.
What?
trolling.
Pavlik's shit. I'm sorry, he's been shit. He's had his time. He's had his chance. He's a D minus F for me. He's been a D minus F for the last 4 years. I've had enough of Pavlik. I don't want to see him in net anymore.
No. Yeah, he's a giant F, and the media coverage of him is somehow sub F. Like, it's just, like, it literally makes me angry that this is the crap we have to deal with in this town. He's bad. His numbers are bad. All goalies make timely saves. Any save is timely. There's time left on the board. It's a timely save. This BS narrative of timely saves, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of Pavlik. I'm sick of this team. I'm so glad some chucklehead took my tickets off of StubHub for tomorrow's game. I refuse. I won't pay to watch this team. I don't like them anyways right now, but I hate them with Pavlik in net, and I hate the coverage of this team with him as a positive. I can't do it.
Meltdown.
Oh, it makes me so angry.
Brian, you're going to give him an A?
Oh, yeah. If it wasn't for the media's coverage of him, I'd say a D. But with how they hype him up and act like he's this savior, it's just made him so unbearable to the point where there's no other option but to just say F. Because with how they hype him up, just... One, every save is timely, like RB said. If there's time on the clock, it's a timely save. And he also, lets in timely goals.
Yeah.
Oh, lot of which within the first five shots of a game. That's great start. But to act like he's the reason the Jets have been doing better, other than the fact that, you know, the team has been scoring goals, is just, it's just a joke.
And by the way, he's 4-3. like it's not really better. It's a little better than being bad. And again, just the perspective is so warped. Like, when the Jets won 3 games in a row and people were like, whoa, look at that, they're fucking flying. And it's like, the joke of the whole thing is that all teams win 3 games in a row at some point. Because it's not really that hard for a professional hockey team to do, at least at some point in the season. So the joke is that we haven't done it. So when you do it, it's not spectacular.
Yeah. Like, what did I see? I don't listen to the morning show, but I remember Pete Tessier, tweeted something about how, oh my God, did we won 3 in a row? Maybe pump the brakes, morning show.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Michael Hutchinson, 894 save percentage, 323 goals against average. He's 4-10-3. The only reason I didn't give Pavlik an F is because I saved it for Hutch. He hasn't been good. He's been sub NHL. And, I think they really relied on him to give support to the rookie goaltender, and he hasn't done it, and it's hurt everyone.
Yeah, he's an F.
Yep. He's an easy F. Well, just too bad because, I mean, for all the love that Pavlik gets for getting them into the playoffs, it was actually Hutch that saved that season because he almost got into the All-Star game. Remember that campaign to get him into the All-Star game?
Yeah.
He's leading the league in save percentage for the better part of the first half. Yeah.
And what he's become now after, once again, boy, Wade Flaherty involved, yippee, he's awful. Like, yeah, he's sub-NHL, so is Pavlik. He's an easy F as well, although he's making, what, 1/5 of Pavlik's salary? So
at least he's worth what he's being paid. He's making, 1.15, though, for 2 seasons, remember?
Well, that's right.
So actually, that's a terrible contract too. Brian,
it has to be an F plus, only because he's making way less than Pavlik. he's the reason we were in the playoffs a couple years ago, not Pavlik. That hot streak in the middle of the year was the reason, and I can't hate him for that, but he's been horrible this year, plain and simple.
All right, let's go to 2 more. We'll just do them as collective groups. Let's go to coaching. you know what? I'm going to let you guys go first.
It's a D for me. Sorry, it's a D.
Oh, that's a high grade. It's an F for me.
Yeah, at F, is there anything lower?
Yeah, I mean, they play low-event, boring hockey with the talent they have. Luckily, they're filling the net on occasion. Like, there is talent on this team. But it seems like they're set up to try and, you know, rifle 2 or 3 in off the bar because of their sharpshooters and then just hold on for dear life. Their power play is predictable, except when the kids are out there. Their PK is atrocious. Their D-zone's awful. Huddy, what's he still doing here? What's Flaherty doing here? I'm tired of listening to Maurice sound like he knows what he's doing and then do the opposite.
Well, I guess, you know, they should have enough. Like pushing Lowry as a third line center when he should be the fourth line center, putting him on the first unit PP, not putting Laine or not having Laine on the first unit more often than not. It's just a whole bunch of perplexing icing Thorburn when you've got, you know, guys that you could be playing and putting Patan on the fourth line, promoting Kopp to the second, fourth line, whatever it is. It's just deployment's atrocious. It's atrocious.
It's just perplexing, right? Everything about it, that point, you know, special teams are bad. Goaltending is bad. You have coaches that take care of both of those things. They're not good enough. Players who shouldn't be playing are getting too much time. What should be obvious in terms of who you put on your power play, for example, is not happening. Your line combinations are funny. You're dressing players when they're you know, certain players when there are clearly better options that are available. It's strange. It doesn't make any sense. It has to be an F.
Yep.
And again, like the debate at this point is it goaltending or is it coaching?
It's coaching.
So while they're both getting bad grades, maybe it's both.
Yep.
Either that or it's what's leading to the other, right? Like chicken and egg stuff, but whatever.
It's all because of fans, the trolls out there that are negative. That's why the Jets.
That's why the team's going to move.
Yeah.
When Jets royalty packs up and takes the team out of town. One more. Let's go with management, and then we'll do True North. Of course, this is mainly Chevy, but True North too. Again, I'll let you guys go first.
I'll let you go, Arby.
Yeah.
You want me to go?
Just speak for all of us.
I guess I could give them a higher grade. I'll give them a D+. because they won a lottery. I guess that's why they don't have an F. I mean, they've drafted well in the first round, and that's
they didn't pick Matthew Tkachuk.
Well, could you imagine this team if they had, like I said, I've said it on the podcast before, but can you imagine how bad this team would be without Laine? I mean, he's filling the net like crazy, and he shouldn't even be here. I mean, it's literally ping pong balls. They either have, like Pierre-Luc Dubois is in the minor, in junior. Ole Juolevi is in junior. Laine is a top liner. And they're still terrible.
even Puljujarvi got sent down, didn't he? Did he get sent down? Or?
Yeah. I mean, better options for their bottom pairing have come and gone on the waiver wire unclaimed. It'd be interesting to know if they put one in on Barbario, because he went to Colorado with the first spot. But other options have come and gone. What they did to the goaltending is it's just embarrassing. Yeah, I don't know. Their free agents this summer were horrid. Matthias has been okay. He's been okay, I guess, but Straight and Quinton Howden and the Moose are terrible. What, I don't know what Zinger's doing down there. Like the only time you hear from him is during that Rippin video they show every year. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the plan is. I think the plan, I've said for, I want, you know this, I've said it for 5 years, the plan sucks, and it's looking more and more like I'm right.
I can't give it any better than a D either, because everything that they've done, or probably more so what they haven't done, is that they're just content to sit back and go, let's let what we've done just kind of move forward. And like, you haven't done anything. You're not going to make the playoffs again. You're 6 years in. You're no better. In fact, you may be worse than you were in your first 4 years. And there's no one thing that, you know, these players are all exciting, but like, there might be some steps forward for the younger guys, but for every, you know, extra goals that Laine and Scheifele are giving you, you're going to get less from Wheeler and Little. So, what am I to be excited about? They're not making a move with the coaches. They're not doing anything to strengthen the lineup. They're not making a major move. He doesn't have the balls to trade somebody unless his hand is forced, to just say, fuck it. Shake up the team. The only time he's got balls is when he wins the draft lottery. It's frustrating because I don't, you know, he's just sitting there watching it happen. I can't stand it.
Well, this trade deadline too is going to be a big test, because he's got some decisions to make. He's got some assets that he can move. He's got some desirable assets that are out there that people are obviously talking about. So we'll see what happens here.
I guess so.
They've said the same thing every deadline and every summer. This is the year. This is the time Chevy's going to put a stamp on this team. Well, we're still waiting.
Yeah,
a Perreault deal would be very interesting to me, though, and what we'd get for it.
Any deal would be interesting because it's compared to nothing. Yeah, well, what a great way to end. I mean, we knew this was going to happen. I'm going to very quickly blaze through a couple of superfans because we're already an hour and 10 minutes in. So just a couple of comments that people put here. The other Steve-O, Dr. Petchy, says, have a feeling there are going to be a lot of D's and maybe a couple of F's too. I think you were right. Crazy in the Peg says, I want to see some Z's. and of course, Brian, you said that could happen if I fall asleep again. So that's great. Hanger, Hockey, Truba, A, Light, Buff, A, Mora, C, Stu, I, Lawn. I don't know what that means. Pavlik, 852, Heli, 666.
Oh, hello?
Hello? You're all there?
Bye, Al.
Are we done?
Wow, Stu is really bad. He didn't even give him a grade.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
The silent treatment.
Just yeah. Broke the podcast.
Into the void.
Yeah, and I guess that's it. There's not much else in terms of comments. So we'll wrap things up at this point because I think we're breaking up. So again, ArcticIceHockey.com is your place to go for Winnipeg Jets news and notes. Tweet us at AIH Superfans on Twitter. Use the hashtag AskTheSuperfans, and when we have time, we'll definitely talk about things on the show. I am at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
I'm Big Pappy Peg City. Keep throwing us those alternate facts, guys.
Hey, it's Ryan, RB underscore 18. And if anybody wants any tickets to a Jets game, send me a DM.
And I'm Brian from AIH. You can follow my Twitter feed for some fake news on the Winnipeg Jets.
All right, folks, I guess that's it. Have a good week, everybody, and go Jets, go. Woo!
Peace.
True North.